Welcome to it. Monday edition of the program. Stoke and Josh rocking with you 10 to 2 as we kick off the week that will be final week of the regular season for the NBA and the NHL. And Major League Baseball continues to roll on. But we got Stoke back. What up, Stoke? How you doing
today? Oh, I'm doing great. Beautiful day. Looking forward to rocking and rolling. Got a big game tonight.
Yes.
Getting down to a little bit of the crunch time here, basketball.
That's right.
And hockey, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's like, all right, man, playoffs are like right around the corner.
12 days.
For both. So absolutely love that. The draft. So yeah. Just a lot going on, man. A lot.
Of course you meant by big game tonight, Kyle Freeland getting his third start of the year against the Arizona Diamondbacks.
I wasn't referencing that, but I forgot about that. They're still playing baseball?
Well, they're doing something when they show up at the ballpark, that's for sure.
Tell me about opening day. I want to get the rundown on opening day because I think I'm going to do what I did this past weekend.
Yeah.
Every opening day.
Just ignore it.
Just not show up for work. I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out. I've already done opening day, right? I've done it a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Loved it. Yeah. But that was when, you know, times were different too. Optimistic about the team, all of those things. And love going down and hanging out and going to the game and doing all of that. But now I'm out on it.
Yeah.
And I think I'm better because of that. How was the atmosphere? Was it crazy packed, just a little packed? Tell me about it.
It was, I mean, we had a great setup. The spot at El Patio was perfect. We had a little couch kind of tucked away where we were, you know, able to do the radio show. Stoke, I think it was actually, first of all, it didn't sell out. That's a big sign right there. There were tickets available at all times. Walk up and buy a ticket. I don't know when that has happened before, at least that amount of tickets. And really, it got crazy, but it wasn't like, I feel like in the past, opening days, it's 10 a.m. People are rolling. People are ready to go. It was kind of like, all right, start trickling in about 11. Really start getting after it about noon and then kind of having their fun doing the thing. And we talked about a lot on Friday. It's not about baseball. That energy is about the city and the crowd and the 75-degree weather. So it was fun. And it was also a little less, I think, at least from my perspective, than what it has been in the past. So that was kind of a bit of a surprise. And you know what else I thought was interesting, Stoke? We're going to get to it later. I asked the Will and a couple people we had stopped by on the show if they thought Chris Bryant was going to get booed.
Yeah.
A lot of people said no.
Uh-huh.
And then he did.
And he got booed.
He got booed, yes.
Wow.
So it was a fun day, and it was less than I thought it was going to be. I only saw, like, one girl crying, only saw two bros fighting, and one pile of throw-up. So that's a win, honestly, on opening day.
Yeah, that's the unders hit on all of those things, right? How was the weather?
Oh, perfect.
I love it. All right. Well, that's good. I'm glad y'all had a good setup. Knew that would be the case. And the Rockies, they just continue to lose. The Nuggets. What? I mean, for me, Jamal returning obviously was huge against the Hawks. You had the tough one that they lost against the Clippers. Jokic's triple doubles in back-to-back games, which has been nice. So getting to be healthy basketball team at the right time. What, four games left here? Four games? Yep. Tied with Minnesota. One of those is on the list. Like, how hard are you going to go for that number one seed? I've been saying it all along. Like, you and Zach, you just won the rest, like, all, like, their top eight guys for the rest of the season. I want the number one seed. I think it's important. I think it's valuable. And you're so close to it. Let's go for that thing, and let's get that number one seed, because I do. I think it's important. And so where are you at with that and with Minnesota upcoming on the schedule, the team they're tied with?
So it'll be the second of a back-to-back. Remember, you said it's the final back-to-back here, Tuesday, Jazz. That's in Utah. So the Timberwolves are going to be just straight chilling. In fact, I believe they're going to be in Denver today, waiting for the Nuggets to return for that Wednesday matchup. I like that Aaron Gordon got a night off. On Saturday night against Atlanta. Atlanta's terrible, so they did the right thing there managing it. I'm still wanting some rest, Stoke. I still want to see everybody that's fully available on Wednesday night when Minnesota comes, because it looks like that's just straight up for the number one overall seed in the Western Conference. Feels that way. We'll see what it looks like when we actually get there on Wednesday, because there's actually no NBA games tonight, and then I don't know if the Thunder are in action tomorrow night, but it feels like Wednesday is for the number one overall seed. So all systems go, fully on board, if you're available and healthy enough to be fully on board for Wednesday. That's my focus, is that game, and then we get to reevaluate after Wednesday. But as far as Tuesday goes, like, I'm pretty sure Malone will roll out the starters and just hey, go out there and get them, boys, but the minutes will be cut tonight because tomorrow means more. What about you?
Yeah, I think that's how you handle the game against the Jazz is you're going to try to rest some guys and then go out and because the back-to-back against Minnesota at home the following night, you know, you want to put your best foot forward. And I think the other thing to remember is you still have a long time to the playoff start.
Yeah.
Right? And so I don't want to just start like, okay, resting guys just to rest guys, just to be ultra conservative and safe here. And then all of a sudden you get in the playoffs and you hadn't played basketball in a while, like competitive basketball in a while. And I don't think that's the right approach. So I think you want to handle it responsibly moving forward. But also staying aggressive and, playing to the end here. Mm-hmm. So once we get into the playoffs, there's not like a lot of rust there. Really glad that Jamal was able to play against the Hawks there. I know he's on restrictive minutes. So that's fine. We'll see how he is handled tomorrow night against the Jazz on the road. But I still want these guys playing because I don't want them to get into the playoffs and then all of a sudden they hadn't played in, 7-8 days.
Yeah, I get that. I do understand that. And look, you saw it last night with Jamal, or what was it, Saturday night, coming back. We mentioned it with the Avs after the trade deadline. Everybody got to go back to the role that they're supposed to play. You saw a little bit that with, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who was freaking on fire on Saturday night, lighting it up. Like, he had to do a little bit less so he could do a little bit more with a little bit of that on his plate, if that makes any sense. So I understand where you're coming from, Stoke, but I'm willing to give... I guess a little bit more than you are, benefit of the doubt that they're going to be all right. They're going to figure it out. It'll actually be 6 days. The Nuggets' final game is the 14th in Memphis there, and then the playoffs will start on the 20th. So it is almost a full week that you're talking about.
And that's if you play on the 14th.
Oh, the starters play.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, if you're looking at the last two, just so we clear this up here, the Spurs and the Grizzlies, both not very good basketball teams.
Nope.
And they're both on the road. So it's going to be interesting to see how they go about their business here. But say you don't play in the last two. I mean, that's what, 8 days?
Yeah, that's a big gap.
Actually, 10 days.
Oh, okay.
Because you wouldn't have played, and the last game that you would have played would have been on the 10th.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like a 10-day break there of competitive basketball. So I just don't want to go down that road. You have a routine. You've been doing it, and you've had a great year. Like, okay, don't just take your foot off the gas right now is my thought here, my approach here for the Nuggets. Now, look, if a guy needs a break, if it's Aaron Gordon, you're dealing with these different things, okay, give him a little break. That's okay. Fine.
Yeah.
But I just don't want to sit our main guys the last two games, and then all of a sudden we look back and say, dang, man, I wish we wouldn't have done that.
I think I just actually came up with a solution right here in real time. You know how I got a 40-year-old rec league team? Shout out Dazed and Confused. That's our team name.
Yeah.
They give those guys the day off. They have a 10-day gap, and then they bring my squad down there to scrimmage against the
Denver
Nuggets.
Oh, you get to scrimmage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want them to be competitive, right? You know we'll go after them, Stoke.
Yeah, I don't think that's probably going to happen. Probably
okay.
Not.
Well,
but I like your thought process.
I'm just thinking out loud here. I'm trying to get something figured out in real time. All right, how do you feel, Nuggets fans? What's the play? Avs fans, same question, because this is it. It's the final week of the regular season. Now, the Avs got to deal with a couple injuries that we're going to touch on, some real bad stuff happening over the weekend. But how do you feel about the Ball Arena Bros in the final week of the regular season? Text lines always open. Love to hear from you. 303-713-1043. It's powered by Ramos Law. You can also watch the show over on Twitch, twitch.tv/DenverSportsCom. Let's talk about these Avalanche, Stoke, because we thought maybe it was going to be in the rearview mirror. Now it's right in front of us again. Another goalie controversy to discuss with the Avs next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
All right, Stoke, it's back. It's here right in front of us. Goalie controversy. Hashtag Goaliegate, is that a thing? Should we start that? Goaliegate with the Colorado Avalanche. Who should be the starting goaltender? They had a rough rough weekend. Friday night, beat down up in Edmonton. And then yesterday, they come home to get the Ducks, who were on the second night of a back-to-back in the final matchup, or the Stars, I mean, the Dallas Stars. And Dallas coming in on that back-to-back in Chicago the day before for an afternoon delight. And dominated the Colorado Avalanche. It was a poor performance for everybody, including Alexander Georgiev, but he got left out to dry quite a bit from his team. Stoke, do you want to have the conversation here? It's right in front of us, right? Alexander Georgiev, Justus Onanen, who the heck is the best goalie that the Avalanche employ right now?
Yeah, I think you're going to use both of them. You got to count on both of them. Whoever's the hot one, that's who you go with. End of story. No one's had kind of like taken this job and ran with it. Obviously, Georgiev's your starter. Anonin's been the backup, but in certain stretches, Anonin's looked like the better goalie. Georgiev, in certain stretches, has looked like the better goalie. So I think right now, the way that I view this is you just go with the hot guy, whoever it is, right? And that's how you got to proceed. So it's no one's going out there and said, hey, I'm ready. This is me. I deserve to be, you know, the starting goalie during the playoffs, game in and game out. So I think that's how you got to approach it, is whoever's the hottest guy, they'll be in the net. And end of story. And it's a game-by-game type of situation. So obviously it's not what you want heading into the playoffs here, but that's just where the Avs are.
There was a moment in last night's game, which I'm like, we'll get into the weekend that was for you and for me, because it was a nightmare for the Wind, and I know I'm not alone out there, everybody having to deal with power outages and things, but there was a moment where I'm watching the game on a little tiny screen on my phone, and Alexander Georgiev, I believe it was the fifth goal that was given, a fourth or fifth goal, and he does that little thing, skates out of the net, comes back, grabs his water bottle, drinking out of it with his mask up and everything, and I'm like, dude, he looks as sad as I looked on my couch watching the game, knowing that this thing was already over and that the division was out of reach after this. He just looked like he had zero confidence. That, you know, like a dead stare out into the abyss where nothing is happening and you can only imagine what thoughts are going through his head. And again, I'm not putting it all on Georgie, but he wasn't good by any means. He just looks like he has lost all confidence in himself, man.
Yeah, I mean, when you give up, I think what they were 3-for-3 on power play goals, Dallas, and you know, watching that last one there, ticky tack call on Cale Makar, a little slashing, and then you know, I don't know, they were doing a great job until the very end, and they give up that goal to go down 5-2, and the game is pretty much over. They try to come back, they do a great job of it. Would they get within one?
Mm-hmm.
Just couldn't, you know, take that next step. So I'm concerned about the goalie situation, certainly. You just hope that one gets hot, the defense plays a lot better, and the offense plays a lot better. But right now, they're reeling a little bit.
They
you
are.
Know? After the All-Star break, obviously they struggled there. And then they got on a roll with the new guys. Val came back, but now it's one of those situations. And I think back to 2 years ago when they ended the season and they struggled. And I was like, oh, my gosh, here we go again. It's going to be another second-round exit at best. And they went on to win the whole thing. They got hot. So that's kind of what I'm referencing in my mind is, and my hope is that, you know what, 2 years ago, gosh, I was really nervous about them heading into the playoffs, and it worked out okay for them. So I'm hoping that we get a repeat of that. But certainly you can't feel great right now if you're an Avs fan. Your hope is the Stars show up, they clean it up a little bit, and you have the dudes to get hot and win it all again. So that's where I'm at right now with the Avs.
See, and I think that's very well said, because it's to me, and it sounds like to you, and I think a lot of you on the RamosLaw.com text line feel this way as well. I'm not going, hey, Justus Onanen or Alexander Georgiev, you better gear up because the postseason's coming. I go, well, now you know who they are, what they provide. Nathan, Mikko, Kale, these kind of guys. Val, you have to elevate and do more on the ice when the postseason comes, because at this point, I'm going to believe who Alexander Georgiev has told me he is, and I'm going to believe who Justus Onanen told me he is. I like this text, Stoke. 970. You know they love us up there.
Says they love me.
They do.
They hate you.
Yeah, well, I like to say they love a part of me because I'm attached to you. But I've watched every Avs game this season. Both goalies scare me. Clearly the weakest part of our team. We'd all agree there. Georgie plays aggressive, constantly finds himself out of position, and Onanen just has no experience but a ton of potential. That's pretty much nail on the head, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and you just got to hope one gets hot, right? I mean, that's it. And just keep us in the game. Just make a few big plays throughout the game. And if you do that, all right, I'll take our chances with our dudes offensively to figure this thing out over a seven-game series. All right, let's go. Let's buckle up. Let's see what it looks like. But I'm not going to all of a sudden, you know, start panicking right now because of the way they looked. I'm just going to go back to where I was 2 years ago. I'm going to go back to this team 3-4 weeks ago. And hopefully they can get healthy. Hopefully they can stay healthy. And then one of our goalies shows up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really all we can do right now. You're not making any trades. Nothing's going to happen, right?
Now, even Gabe walking through the door didn't change much of my feelings.
No. And you know, that's not going to happen, right?
I don't know.
What?
Mark Slareth had some sources while you were gone. Mark Slareth, yeah.
Marky,
yeah.
Some hockey sources.
Some hockey sources.
Oh, what?
He actually, and you would have loved it too, because he said on the show, like, little birdie has told me that Gabe might come back. And then Mike Evans is like, whoa, why are you telling me this right now? You never told me this before. And then Mike also said, it's not that same source that had the Aaron Rodgers information.
Oh, that's a good one, Mikey. I like it. He's not coming back. Come on.
Well, the context that he said was like he's a fourth liner that skates 6 minutes if he returns. So it's just the, hey, Gabe's here. Gabe's on the ice. Gabe's got a jersey. That's the boost, I guess, they're looking for.
Yeah, but come on. Like, what are we doing? I mean, that makes no sense. The guy hasn't played in, I don't know, how long has it been? A couple years?
Since 2022.
Yeah, so, and then all of a sudden you're just going to drop him into the playoffs?
Right.
Right? I mean, here, let's go. I mean,
the last time he played was game 6 in Tampa Bay.
And it's going to be, 5-6 minutes?
Yeah.
Like, to me, it's like, what are we doing here? I'm worried about his future. He's still under contract here for years. So I'm worried about his future at that point, and I don't want to put him in a situation like, let's just give him the whole offseason now. You're going this far. I'm sure he's can't wait to get back, but I just don't think it makes much sense to put him back out on the ice after not having to play for a couple years and his playoff time.
Yeah.
Like, that to me is just not very smart.
I'm with you, and I don't know if it's – look, what if it's – this was Will Peterson's idea on Friday. I got to give him credit for it of like, hey, I got – he's telling team, I got 20 games left of all time. Like, this knee can give you 20 games. You want it right now or some point next season?
No. What? No. That's not. That wasn't good. That
wasn't good.
No, that was awful.
I'm glad I told you it was Will's idea.
Yeah, right. No. No. What? 20 games? That's it? How does he, like, really?
I don't know. I mean.
Like, how? Like, to me, like, that makes no sense because, and I'm just joking, obviously, to Will. But to me that makes no sense because that means you're not healthy, dude. You're not healthy. You're not healthy. So why are we gonna put you on the ice? If I say, hey, I can play one quarter of football. Well, why can't you play four? Well, then you're not healthy, man. Then I don't want to put you out there if you already know that you're not healthy. And because guess what? If you think you only got 20 games left, your career is pretty much over. And I don't want to put you out there because you're going to end up hurting your team.
Yeah.
More so than you're going to help them. So that's why, I just couldn't see that happening. But I don't know. We'll see what it looks like. See if he can return during the playoffs. I just don't think it's smart for either party, either side to do it.
And you know what? If you were, Truth Lasso around me, like, I don't think they're good enough even with.
Whoa, wait, what?
Right now? The way they're playing right now?
Yes, they are. They are.
I don't know, man.
They are. See, you sound like me a couple years ago, is fine. That's fine. Yeah. That's fine. But they are. They are good enough. That's the thing. They are good enough to go on a run and win this thing. Anything can happen in these seven-game series in hockey. We see it all the time. It's almost like more so than any other sport.
Well, it's wide open.
Just wide open once you get in. Obviously, look, they're not the first or second favorites right now, but they're probably top five, I would think, at the worst. So they got the dudes. When you have the dudes, all right, let's go. I mean, like, let's go to battle when it matters the most and see what it looks like with McKinnon, McCarr, Rantanen, Val. Okay? All right, let's go.
All right, well, we're going to talk more about these Avs because Mikko dealt with a bit of an injury, big hit this weekend. What does it mean for his future? Some reports say not as serious as we initially thought. So that's good news, and we'll revisit that conversation when we get back to the Avs in quarter number two. Let's touch on some college buckets. South Carolina, 38-0. They're national champs. Huskies and Boilermakers going to play for that right tonight. How'd we get here? What does the loss mean for Caitlin Clark's legacy? And we got to discuss it. Was it an illegal screen on Friday night? We'll tell you next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Coming up tonight, UConn or the field? It's a big one for us here on the show this evening. Purdue, UConn, 7:20 tip. It's on TBS tonight. Let's hope I have television back in my home. I can watch this game tonight. It was a weird weekend, Stoke. You picked a good time to go get some golfing in a different place.
I heard.
Because this weekend sucked, dude.
A lot of wind, huh?
Yeah. I was without power for like 36 hours. Still don't have cable or internet at the house. Like, it's...
Oh.
I told Kelsey, I'm like, let's just get rid of our smartphones and it'll be 1995 all over again and we can go outside and play, I guess, you know? Like...
Yeah.
It was weird, dude. I didn't know what to do with my hands. I was just driving around aimlessly. Went to coffee shops to simply charge stuff.
Wow.
It was weird, dude. But you had a good weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good one. Got to play some golf down in Arizona.
Nice.
Oh, that was nice. Yeah. It was I'm not a great golfer. But
save that one, Kev.
But one of them, one of the days was freezing, actually. Oh. So we did not, like, we had three great days of weather. It was really cold. It was raining. It's sleeting a little bit on us. We had a great teammate. Shout out. It's his birthday today, actually. Oh. Shout out Jonathan Marsico.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. And so he carried me most of the way. I helped out a few times. And I don't know. I mean, 54 holes, something like that. I helped out on a couple,
okay.
But we made it to the shootout, right? You got a six team flight, and the top guy of the top team in each flight makes it to the shootout, which is a 60-yard shot to the 18th green from right by the clubhouse, okay. Right? And then whoever hits the shot, the next person has to putt. So that's the way it is. You don't know who's going to hit the shot. They just decide for you, yeah. Right when you get up there, right?
Nice.
And so I was really nervous. I'm like, please, I don't want to. And you got 75, 80 people around.
Oh, they're just watching?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah. No. So it's like a scene. It's at the end. It's a scene, right? And, you know, usually when you walk up there, they're going to make fun of you about something or something like that. And so I'm like, please don't be me. And obviously my partner's a lot better chipper than I am. I would much prefer to try to be putting, right? And rather than hit a 60-yard chip shot with bunker in front, bunker behind, and water behind, by the way. So I was really nervous. I'm like, goodness, please, please, Lord, don't pick me. I don't want to be picked. Yeah. I don't. And who do they pick? They pick me!
Next on the tee, Stokely and Brandon. Gosh.
So now, what am I thinking? Don't chunk it, don't skull it, and don't shank it into someone that is sitting right there, you know, 1 yard away from me. And so I didn't chunk it, I didn't skull it, I didn't hit it in anyone, I didn't hit a great shot. It was a little bit long. And went into the back bunker, and I left my partner an impossible shot. So that was it. We got eliminated. But like five or six, there was no two.
Oh, wow.
No one got up and down. It was a hard shot, hard putt. Yeah. So we got eliminated. So that was my weekend.
All right.
There you go.
Sounds awesome, though.
It was fun.
I love the format, too.
Like, it was fun. A lot of fun. We had a good time.
I wish I were there to see you nervous. As to before you took the shot.
Yeah, yeah, I was. I wanted to get up there and hit that thing as quick as possible and then get back.
All right, well, glad you're back. We missed you throughout the week and on opening day. Now let's talk about this game tonight. Before we get into the women's and the South Carolina perfect season, how interested are you in this game tonight with UConn and with Purdue? It's what both coaches have kind of said back and forth. Hey, these kind of been the two best teams in basketball over the last couple of seasons, and now they finally get to do the dance for the championship. Like, I'm all in on tonight. How are you feeling?
Kind of like I am on college basketball in general. Just meh.
Okay.
I mean, I'll watch it, of course, but I'm not like this is must-see TV for me. It's college basketball has lost a lot. For me, personally, mm-hmm. watching it, it's just like it's not the same. It's not what I had growing up when I absolutely loved college basketball. So, but I'll watch it. I was really going for Connecticut last year. I was glad to see them win. This year, I think I'm going for Purdue. I'd like to see. It's been a cool story how close they've been and haven't been able to cross that finish line and, like, have had some bad losses yeah. in the tournament, and now, you know, they're able to take that next step and get to the championship game, which I think is awesome. So I'm going for them because they're a little bit of the underdog story here, and you hate them.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
So that's another one. Like, yeah, definitely go for Purdue then.
I
got action on Purdue.
You need Purdue.
Yes.
And I need UConn.
Yes.
So it's all worked out.
Pizza bet.
You took the field.
I took the field, mm-hmm. yep. You offered the bet, which was a fair bet, 2 weeks ago or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And you said, all right, do you want UConn or do you want the field? And this was during the Sweet 16, mm-hmm. before the start of the Sweet 16. Mm-hmm. And I took the field, which was a bad move. And then, of course, Houston loses. Yeah. I was counting on Houston to, you know, be the main obstacle there for UConn, and they lose the next game after I take that bet. So it's not looking great for me. UConn's like a 7.5-point favorite, but we shall see what it looks like. And if UConn can do it again, that's been impressive what they were able to do. They lost a few guys from last year, and they're still able to make the type of run and dominate the way that they've dominated this past year. Very impressive.
I was actually thinking about you during that game because UConn, the score is different than what the game actually was between UConn and Alabama and the Crimson Tide there. Alabama just couldn't hang in the final, call it 10 minutes, and that's when UConn was able to separate themselves. But it was a much closer game than UConn had experienced at any point throughout the tournament. So it was nice to kind of see them, hey, answer the bell. Their big fella got after it and was kind of the horse leading them pulling away there. But I think this should be a fun one tonight. Obviously, the two big men going to battle, coaching, you know, that's going to matter tonight with both men on the sidelines there. I am looking forward to it. I'm a basketball dude, and I obviously want to beat you in a bet. And if I can beat you in a bet and Purdue loses at the same time, I might be the happiest man in the world this evening.
I love it. And look, I'll happily pay the pizza bet if I don't have to see Alabama tonight.
Okay? That's what I said. I thought about you with that loss.
Right.
Yeah.
I did not want to see Alabama in the finals. Okay? And so that didn't happen. All right. If I don't win tonight, that's A-OK. I don't mind really either one of these teams winning and winning the national championship. So for me, it's not like I can't stand either one of these teams. I'm going for the team that hasn't won. But UConn's a good story. I like watching Hurley coach. He's done a great job there, obviously. Yes. And so to be able to go back-to-back is a tough thing to do. If they're able to do it, that's respect.
Be the first time since 06-07 when the Florida Gators did it with Joakim Noah. Remember on that team?
Oh, yeah.
With the coach, Billy Donovan.
Yeah.
Slick back hair. That's the last time a college basketball team has went back-to-back. So some history.
All those guys returned.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of them could have gone. I think Al Horford was on
that team.
They could have, a couple of them could have gone pro, and they decided to come back and run it back again, and they ended up doing it again. So, that was a very talented team there.
It'll be a big one tonight. It's yesterday. I want to spend a little bit more time on this, too. But the women's championship game. I had to find a way to watch it. Like I said, because of the wind, we end up somewhere watching the game, taking it all in. And it was, you knew Caitlin Clark had an uphill battle. It was almost David versus Goliath feeling going into this because of how good South Carolina is and is obviously with a perfect season as national champions, just the 10th team in history to do that. The first half, Stoke, it's a quick 10-0 start for Caitlin and the Hawkeyes, but you knew it was just a matter of time before South Carolina calmed it down, played their brand of basketball, and then that's exactly what happened in both the third and the fourth quarter last night. They're just too damn good, man. Caitlin even said after the game, like, how are we supposed to beat those guys as a team? They're just better than us.
Yeah, hats off to South Carolina. Undefeated. Tough thing to do. Go through a whole season and not lose a game and then finish it off. So, I... you know, you look at Caitlin Clark and her career and amount of attention she's gotten, it's been impressive to do what she's been able to do for the last couple years and you know, probably carry a team around her that needed a lot of help. Mm-hmm. And to see the run they went on last year and then to back it up this year and to take that next step and to get, you know, that close and to trying to get that championship and not being able to do it, to me, it doesn't take anything away from her. Like, people want, like, you know, you hear Dawn Staley, and people want to try to knock her for not winning a championship or take something away from her greatness because she didn't win a championship. Give me a break. That doesn't take anything away from her individual accolades and success that she's had, because it's not an individual sport. I get it. People want to put championships by greatness. And if you don't have, you know, 2, 3, 4, then, you know, you're not as great or you're not as good as your stats say, maybe. And you look at a guy like Dan Marino. I mean, you got 10 other guys on offense, 11 other guys on defense. It's a team sport, people. And basketball is a team sport. So, you know, she's one of the greatest to ever play basketball. And to see what she has done the last couple years, just because she didn't win a championship doesn't take anything away from her and her accomplishments.
I think that's very well said. And I disagree 100%. I'll tell you why coming up next.
You're listening to Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
What's going on, mama? Something just dawned on me. I ain't been home. All right, Stoke, we want to talk a little Caitlin Clark here. Shout out to our guy Morgan, though. Hopefully everything all right. Throwing stuff off of roofs up there.
Well, I don't think he just probably was handing it to his buddy and just, you know, might have slipped out of his buddy's hands and landed on the ground.
That happens.
6 floors down.
Right. Yeah. His buddy probably should catch better.
Right.
I like Kevin's take on this. He called it the best throw in Nashville since the Music City Miracle.
That was pretty good. Real good.
That's real good. You should tweet that out, dude. That's good. all right, we're talking a little bit about Caitlin Clark. We just talked about the fact that she lost in the national championship in back-to-back seasons, but obviously everything she was able to achieve from an individual standpoint puts her in a conversation of maybe even greatest of all time. Is that the conversation? And you said all of the things you said, Stoke, about what she was able to accomplish. And like I said, you're absolutely right. I'm not going to take any of that stuff away from her. But I actually do believe you need to have a championship tied to your name to be a GOAT. She can be the greatest of her era. She can be a really good college basketball player. You certainly have to mention her name when you tell the story of college basketball. I'm not saying women's. I'm saying all of college basketball. But to not win a national championship, I literally think that's my definition of your out of the GOAT conversation. Got to win a natty. Got to win some sort of championship. You use the name Dan Marino, Charles Barkley on the basketball side. Hall of very, very good. Chuck and Dan are both in the Hall of Fame because of individual numbers. And it's easy in basketball. But for me, you're always the second tier, and that's as high as you're going to go in my personal little rankings of who you are and what you meant to the sport if you didn't win a championship.
And look, I mean, to each their own.
Sure.
Right? So I'm not going to sit here and say you can't feel that way. But also I'm going to say I disagree. When you watch Caitlin Clark play, and if you put her on South Carolina's team, it's not even close. So I think in a team sport, I value championships on a whole nother level. Like, let me see how you play individually. Like, what do you look like? How dominant are you game in and game out? And she has made the game different. Like Steph Curry made the game different. Mm-hmm. And the way that she plays, the way that she can stretch a defense and shoot the basketball is like nothing that we've seen. So to me, not winning a championship isn't going to take away from what I watched out there and watched her career and how she has elevated the game of women's college basketball. So I'm not going to let one game, whether, you know, all of a sudden, I mean, that's really two games. I mean, they were in the finals last year.
Lost to LSU.
They were in the finals this year. Lost to South Carolina. So it's like, well, I'm not going to define her greatness by what her teammates did. How did she play in those games? I don't remember how she played against LSU.
She was good.
You know, in this one, you know, she had 30. She had 30, 8 rebounds, 5 assists. That's pretty dang good. So, like, if she didn't show up in those games, then it'd be like, okay, now maybe you can knock her for it. But, like, when you are playing, I don't want to knock her teammates, but obviously she doesn't have the talent around her maybe that some other teams have around them. And she was still able to help bring this team to another championship game, which I think is remarkable. So my eyes tell me that she is one of the greatest to ever do it. And I don't like to, you know, say this one's greater than that one in different eras and different, you know, it's hard to compare individuals in a team sport, but I want to say she's in that conversation of greatest to ever do it.
And look, you're absolutely right about the eyeballs and everything she's meant to college basketball. You go back to that Friday night matchup against UConn, over 14 million people watched the dang game. Peak of 17 million people. That's more than every World Series game last year, every NBA Finals game last year, every Daytona 500 since 2013, every Masters final round, which is coming up, since 2013, and all but 5 college football games did that outrank and outget viewership. So she's bringing eyeballs. That part is absolutely outstanding. She has become the first female athlete that's a non-Olympic athlete that makes that sport appointment television. And that you cannot take away from her with or without a championship by any means. So I give her a ton of credit. I think she's a great player. She's so fun to watch. I mean, she's got that Steph Curry range that you talk about. But, man, I was rooting for it, too. I wanted to see them win the championship and, upset South Carolina. So that's just where I stand. I'd love to know how the texters and listeners feel about it at 303-713-1043. Somebody says that the GOAT is Diana Taurasi for women's hoops. And Diana was actually on SVP's show, Scott Van Pelt, talking about where Caitlin ranks.
Look, SVP, reality is coming.
Okay.
You know, there's levels to this thing, and that's just life. We all went through it.
Of course.
And you see it on the NBA side, and you're going to see it on this side, where, you know, you look superhuman playing against 18-year-olds, but you're going to come with some grown women that have been playing professional basketball for a long time. Not saying that it's not going to translate, because when you're great at what you do, you're just going to get better. But there is going to be a transition period where you're going to have to give yourself some grace as a rookie. And, you know, it might take a little bit longer for some people.
Diana Taurasi hating over there.
Not quite sold, is she?
Goodness gracious. Golly, why? Why? Why?
She's intimidating.
I mean, good, right. and no, I watched a lot of UConn women's basketball when Taurasi played, and they were fun. And she could shoot it, you know. So she was unbelievable in her time. And so, like, but... Yeah, I get it. It might be a transition, but I would pump my brakes on that a little bit if I was her. Like, pump her up,
right?
And what she's done for the game, and what a great college career she had. But you're kind of going out of your way to knock her and knock her before she even ever plays. Mm-hmm. I don't like that approach. I say, hey man, If you're a fan of women's college basketball, man, you should be pumping her up.
Yep.
And what she was able to do and accomplish, and the viewership that it had, because if it wasn't for her playing, I can tell you I don't know how many people would have been watching that UConn Iowa game, but it wouldn't have been that many.
No.
Same thing for yesterday's game, right? It went from being an afterthought to appointment viewing TV for people. And that was awesome for the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's going to have, like, the impact that Steph Curry had just all the way around on basketball. But she's going to be able to do it for the women's game.
Yep.
And I think that's really cool. But then, like, someone, Diana Taurasi, wants to come up there and, like, throw shade on her? Mm-hmm. Like, well, you're going to throw shade on her? Look, you're awesome. You're awesome at UConn. You're awesome in the WNBA. But now you're hating. Why? Jealous?
Yeah, I'm a little
worried.
Jealousy, I think.
That's a bad look for her.
I agree with you. It's Caitlin Clark has done more for women's sports than Diana Taurasi has ever done in her entire life. And Caitlin's a senior in college. So, respect
She's
her
jealous.
A little bit more. Yeah, yeah, I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. And then real quick, going back to Friday, because it was all the rage of the world, Stoke, that screen in the UConn game. I get it. I don't like the referees determining the outcome of a game either. But that's a moving screen, folks. That's a moving screen.
Dang, Josh, I don't know, man. I don't
She's
know,
She's shoveling her
man.
Feet as contact's Josh. Being made.
Oh, man.
You got to call the fouls when they're fouls.
No, you don't.
Oh, really?
You know that? You're not calling the same foul in your 40 and over rec league in the fourth as you are in the first or the second half as you in the first half, right? The first 2 minutes, you might let a little bit, you might call some things, but then late in the basketball game, look, we're playing. We're playing. Like, if it's close, it's not being called.
Okay, I agree on that.
And so I think in that situation, it wasn't really impacting the play at all. That girl was coming from behind, and it was a close one, right? Guess what? It could have gone either way, and I certainly see your view on it that, okay, she was moving a little bit, but to me, the standard needs to be higher in that. What was it, two-point game?
Mm-hmm.
Two-point game.
Mm-hmm.
3-point-something seconds left to go in the game, and then all of a sudden you blow the whistle on that. It's got to be more. I need to see more in that situation to blow the whistle. I think you do have to call a game a little bit different late than you do early. We see it all the time in the NBA, right? Playoff basketball is different than regular season basketball.
Yeah, you're right.
Regular season first quarter is a little bit different than fourth quarter. So like it needs to be called a little bit differently. Same thing in football. They don't call bleepity bleep in the Super Bowl. Nothing. Nothing is hardly called in the Super Bowl. They let them play, which, okay, I get it. You know, that's the way it should be. And I think that should be the case. And because I wanted to see Paige get that shot off and see what it would have looked like. And it's like, oh, man, come on. I get it. By the letter of the law, you're probably right. But in the situation, let's let them determine it. And that's the way I view it.
How do you see it? Was it an illegal screen? Even if it was, do you swallow the whistle in that moment? 303-713-1043. Let's turn our attention back to the Rockies. Ryan McMahon had one of, if not the greatest, moment in Rockies opening day history. But wait until you hear what the pitcher on the wrong end of setting that moment had to say after the game. That's coming up next.